future of this country. And frankly, that doesn't just play out at the ballot box.
10
that
seconds.
Is going to be played out by movements. And so that is why this book is so important. It helps give us tips and tools about how to build the kinds of movements that can last and that can win.
Alicia Garza, we want to thank you so much for being with us. Principal of Black Futures Lab, co-founder of Supermajority and Black Lives Matter Global Network. Her new book, The Purpose of Power, How We Come Together When We Fall Apart. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook. The time is 6 o'clock on a Tuesday. That means it's time for Off the Wall. Very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this glorious Tuesday evening, joined tonight by Kyle.
Loud and clear.
Pretty loud, pretty clear.
Loud and clear?
Yeah, I'd say so.
For ruining anyone's hi-fi equipment.
That's okay. I don't think anyone really cares about that anymore. 1 week. 1 week left. 1 week until Election Day. Wow.
Yes, behold.
Well, we beheld. We drove around, Sunday, to look at the early voting areas. And, I want to give out some information. Well, first of all, most important information right now, support WUSB. We're in the middle of our radiothon. If you call 631-632-6901, you'll be able to pledge to this radio station and, of course, Tell Them Off the Wall is your favorite show. If you can't do that, go to WUSB.FM. You can pledge there as well. And pledging a monthly amount, well, that adds up. That adds up to a yearly amount. And it really helps us keep going, keep broadcasting, which we've been doing without fail ever since 1977 when we first went on the air. And non-commercial radio is so important. Being able to get words, sentiments, expression of all sorts out, especially in times like this. You know, it's imagine not having this outlet. We'd be forced to listen to conservative talk radio all the time, 100%. Because for some reason, liberals can't hold together radio networks and make it as unified and monolithic as conservatives can. I'm sure there's some kind of psychological reason for that.
I think it's more of a business reason.
Maybe. But, you know, try it sometime. Just try be a selfish prick. Can I say that? Yeah, just try. You don't have to stay that way, but just for Halloween, be a selfish prick. And the music ended right when I said that. And just look out for yourself and nobody else. And don't care about anyone else's feelings. Don't be influenced by what's right and what's wrong. Just do what you want. And just try that. Try that for a day. And it's incredibly easy. It's incredibly easy. Because I said so. I want that. That's mine. I have it. I'm first. I'm getting ahead of you. And after a while, it's just the way you are all the time. No thinking about, well, is this fair? How does the other person feel? What's the right thing to do? What would Bernie Sanders do? You know, things like that. You just think about yourself. So I think that might be it. I think, you know, it's more simplistic when you put yourself first, when greed isn't a bad thing, when gathering as much as you possibly can without thinking about how much you're taking from somebody else, when eating whatever you want regardless of health concerns, when going outside without a damn mask regardless of the health effects of that. When you can put all that aside, yeah, then it becomes easy. I think that's why you see radio networks and publications and huge gatherings and things like that. Because individuals are discouraged. Individual thought is something you kind of just steamroller over. I don't know. That's my thought.
Or wallpaper. Wallpaper over.
Uh-huh. Whatever you want to...
People still wallpaper? The only other thing I'd say is it's impressive, or at least encouraging, how radio sort of matches the moment.
As the music fades away, he matches the moment.
And is recontextualized, even though mediums and how people get news and information transforms, somehow it's still vital. And that's why we're saying support community radio, support college radio, and get more information at WUSB.FM.
Yes, and if you here's a deal. If you don't like us, here's a way to hurt us, because I will personally match every dollar that comes in during this hour between 6 and 7 p.m. So if you don't like me, pledge a huge amount, and then I'll have to pony that up. And it's a tough year, you know, it's tough times here. So you would be hurting me. So please, 631-632-6901 or WUSB.FM. And there's all kinds of things, too. You can get coffee mugs and shirts and all sorts of tote bags, I think. The person on the other end of the phone can help you with that. Anyway, the other bit of information, really important bit of information I want to give out, since we were driving around looking at all these polling stations, is where those polling stations are. Well, the first one we saw...
Also, give the when.
I was going to get to that.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. The first one we saw was Brookhaven Town Hall, which is right at Bald Hill, Farmingville, where our transmitter is, in fact. And that was the first one we went to. And there was a line. Wow. In fact, I didn't realize it until after we got back in the car that the line kept going around the building. I didn't walk out to see just how far behind the building it kept going. But there were hundreds of people online.
Yeah, it's a big public administration complex there. So good that they had the space, and that's probably why it was selected. And many people were making use of it, although this line would indicate they're definitely not running as many things in parallel as you might imagine, at least for the amount of traffic that we saw.
Yeah. I don't know how many actual polling places they had, you know, individual ones they had inside.
Also, how that process is broken down. Mm-hmm. You don't know how it's become more convoluted since there's all these health protocols.
Well, we also there's that too. But we also went to a bunch of other places. We went to Islip. We went to Brentwood. We went to Neskonset. And we didn't see anybody there, but we didn't know. We didn't know this at the time that they closed at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We thought they were staying open until normal polling hours. So that's something to really be concerned about. So if you want to go down today, for instance, October 27th, you actually are in luck because they're open until 8. Yeah, they're open until 8 today on October 27th. Tomorrow, they're open until 4. It's a real crapshoot. So Thursday, what time, Kyle? Go ahead, guess.
8.
No, 4. See, you'd be screwed. All right, I'll give you another chance. Friday.
4.
Nope, 2 in the morning. No, I'm kidding. No, giving you bad information here? Nope, I'm not. 8 p.m. on Friday. And Saturday, makes no sense, 3 p.m. And Sunday, the last day you can do this, 3 p.m. So once more, tonight, every early voting site in Suffolk County is open until 8 p.m. Tomorrow, 4 p.m., Thursday, 4 p.m., Friday, 8 p.m., Saturday and Sunday, 3 p.m. And those are the last days you can do it. Now, where are they? Okay, Babylon Town Hall Annex in North Babylon, 281 Phelps Lane. As we mentioned, Brookhaven Town Hall on 1 Independence Hill in Farmingville. The Dix Hills Fire Department. Go vote and check out the inside of a fire department, and maybe there'll be a fire that breaks out and everybody's going to run to the trucks and the dog. And oh, that could be 115 East Deer Park Road in Dix Hills. Huntington Station, the Huntington Public Library, the station branch, 1335 New York Avenue. Islip Town Hall Annex in Islip, 401 Main Street. The Knights of Columbus in Brentwood, 96 Second Avenue. Yeah, we saw that building and we said, that can't be it, can it? Because there's nobody there. We didn't know they had closed an hour earlier. So we were driving around Brentwood. You know, I noticed driving around Brentwood, they have this section with these huge pine trees. That was amazing. I wasn't expecting that.
Incredibly tall wow. Trees, and really takes your breath away. You got to pay attention to the road, but you want to look up.
How many times do I have to apologize? Yes, I veered into oncoming traffic, but the trees, come on, Kyle, those were amazing trees. And even the person I almost hit agreed with me after we exchanged papers that was a spectacular sight.
Yeah, usually those varieties are much smaller around this area and on the beachy, sandy parts of the island.
Mm-hmm. Mastic, out east. Mastic Recreation Community Center, 15 Herkimer Street. And Neskonset Elementary School in Neskonset, 29 Gibbs Pond Road. The Riverhead Senior Center, 60 Shade Tree Lane, but it's not in Riverhead, it's in Aquabog. Well, I guess it's in the town of Riverhead, is it? Yeah, I think so. Aquabog. Aquabog? Yeah. Riverhead Senior Center, the Southold Senior Center, this, one rivalry they have going on here. You should see the basketball games. Southold Senior Center in Matatuck, New York, 750 Pacific Street. How about this? Stony Brook University? Nope, don't get excited. It's a Stony Brook University Southampton campus, far away from Stony Brook. 70 Tuckahoe Road in Southampton. And finally, the last early voting site in Suffolk County, Windmill Village. I don't know what that means. That's what the place is called. Windmill Village, 219 Akabonic Road in East Hampton. All right. So if you want to vote early, you can go to any of those places. Doesn't matter where you're registered in Suffolk County, but you can go to any of them. Now, on Election Day, a week from today, you have to go to your local polling place. God knows what it's going to be like. And they'll be open until 9 p.m. So that's how it works. And, of course, there is a vote by mail, absentee ballots. Get those in the mail now. Get those in the mail right now, because you don't want any shenanigans to interfere with your right to vote. And this is something that's going on nationwide. There's battles. The Supreme Court just ruled against democracy in Wisconsin, where even if you get your ballot in on time and for reasons that have nothing to do with you, the post office delays your ballot. It's postmarked on time, but if they delay it, it doesn't count. Yeah, that sounds fair, doesn't it?
Not at all.
So best for you to mail it now, today. Why wait? Or bring it to an official Dropbox and find out where those official Dropboxes are. And of course, if you know somebody who might have trouble getting there, or if you might have trouble getting to those Dropboxes or getting a ballot in on time, enlist the help of a friend or neighbor that you trust, or maybe go along with, you know, for the ride, to make sure that your ballot is deposited in the right place.
Anything you can do, like, really in your proximity makes all the difference. You want every single opportunity, and a little thing like a ride could go a long way. So
absolutely.
That's a great suggestion.
Absolutely. So it's coming down to the wire. In a week, though, you know, we're not going to know in a week the results. We certainly won't know, because the polls will still be open when we're on the air.
We'll have a good idea, though, right?
I mean, don't know.
There's going to be some indication. It won't be so close to the line. It'll be one way or the other, and then someone will contest it. If it...
Well, that's almost certainly going to happen. It's going to be a mess. It really is, because there's just so much that can go wrong, or the way our system is set up. So much contentiousness and so much intimidation that is happening. I'm not really looking forward to it, to be honest.
Me either. No, right. No party planned. Probably going to take a break. Maybe do a little, meditating during the results. You know, watch it on mute. Maybe that because everything's on the screen anyway. You don't need to hear the same kind of theorizing over and over again all night, especially if everything's like breaking news and one thing or the other keeps going, keeps becoming, you know, a source of attention. Eventually they'll sort it out, and those areas will be able to report their final numbers. So a bunch of speculation all night. Like, I don't need to hear that. Nobody wants to hear that.
Yeah. Of course, we'll be glued to the TV set hearing just that, I'm sure.
Not if it's muted.
Well, so yesterday was the confirmation of Amy Coney Barrett. It's a disgrace. It is a real disgrace what has happened here. Republicans completely breaking their word, showing no honor whatsoever. Doing the exact opposite of what they claimed was the right way to do it 2 years ago, or 4 years ago, I'm sorry. And it's obvious that this is being done as a power play to steal the election and to ram through so many other policies that they may not have the chance after Election Day, or after the results are finalized. Things like getting rid of the Affordable Care Act, getting rid of it in the middle of a pandemic. and contesting the results of the election itself, having a 6-3 majority of conservatives on the Supreme Court, can all but assure that something that is in any way contentious or close will go the way of the Republicans. It's almost a guarantee. You basically installed somebody right now who has no experience. She's been on the bench for, 2 years? Very, very little experience. There's traffic court judges that have more experience than this person. But she met the qualifications for the agenda they want to push forward. And it's just a real sham. I'm sensing just so much anger and frustration because there was nothing anybody could do. You know, we all said when Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away, Republicans better not try anything. As if we had a leg to stand on, as if we could do something about it. We'll shut down D.C., you know, we'll keep them from... nothing happened, not a thing. In fact, there weren't even any disruptions in the hearings because they didn't allow any people in the hearings. It's like a true dictatorship. You know, it's a way to just quell any dissent. So it just sailed on through. And everyone is very frustrated, upset, angry. And I think that anger will manifest itself just not immediately, since we have no power.
Yeah, people are kind of exhausted and focused on the election, so their energy is already there. It's already put in to the things that we're talking about, helping other people get to the polls, as well as making the difference you can in your choices personally that can impact leadership making choices like this on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate. It's definitely a much longer game than people would like to be playing, but it's really the only option, like you said.
Well, the only thing that can be done at this point, I think, is expanding the court. I know that Democrats are loath to discuss this before the election because I guess they're worried that they're going to alienate some. Who are they going to alienate? They're going to alienate people that will never vote for their candidates in the first place. So you might as well just say, yeah, it's on. It's on. As soon as we get in power, we are going to expand this court and fix all the things that you screwed up. Period. You want to play hardball? Okay, let's play. Instead of just always saying, okay, well, we're going to file a complaint and launch an investigation, you know, you basically alienate your own people that way by not being strong. So I think we're all going to be looking for some strength after November 3rd and hopefully on November 3rd. But after that, the last thing I want to see is let's be civil. Let's compromise. Let's be considerate. No. We've dealt with this crap now for 4 years, if not longer, through the hell they put Obama through.
Yeah, for sure. Any kind of
it's time for us to stand up and to be angry and to get our way for a change and see how that goes.
Yeah, any kind of longing for bipartisanship or talking, putting on a lecture about taking opportunities or, you know, I don't know. I feel like there's really no patience for that. People have been patient, they're exhausted, and they want to affect the kind of government that works for them.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of having to play catch up and somehow get along with people who were never for bipartisanship before.
You know, as far as getting along, you know, I've talked about it last week. We can get along just fine. We can get along just fine with people on a day-to-day basis. The poison is when we start talking policies and politics and candidates and things like that. A decisive win and a firm stand on policies, I think that will say a lot. And we can continue being nice to the people we see on a daily basis as long as we don't butt heads on this constantly. Because, you know, things have to change at some point. It might as well be now. And we all have to live together either way. So let's change the direction and let's get along. But let's keep going in the direction we choose to go in. Hey, we tried it. We tried it your way. Look what happened. Look at all the crap we are going through right now. It's, I mean, we're in the middle of a pandemic we can't get a grip on because the people that are supposed to get a grip on it are incompetent or ignoring it. The economy is in a shambles. Places are going out of business constantly as a direct result of that. We are the laughingstock of the international community. We've turned from a destination, a place of hope, to a place of horror where people want to get away from. And it can get a lot worse. And if things don't go well next week, it will get a lot worse. A lot worse. Can't even think about that. One Saturday ago, not this past Saturday, but the previous Saturday, they had one of those Trump caravans through Port Jefferson, Setauket, Stony Brook.
I heard about this. There was, I think, a lot of, well, people with flags and yeah. Paraphernalia displaying their symbols.
Uh-huh.
Showing their affiliation and affinity. Their affinity group was parading.
Yeah, that's a nice way of saying it. Basically, just a bunch of massive, loud, intimidating vehicles. And it does have that effect. You know, it really does have that effect on people. You think they're a lot bigger than they are. You think there are a lot more of them than there really are. But, you know, you get a couple of hundred cars. Actually, they said it was 1,000 cars. No, it's 1,000 people. Okay, it's a lot. But it's not that much when you go to the polls. So don't be intimidated by that. Now, there are a couple of pieces in our local newspaper, the Village Times Herald, I believe. I want to read part of the editorial that they put out last week because it was said really well, I think. Seemingly in response to a single Black Lives Matter march in Port Jefferson back in June. We went to that. Remember that? We saw it by accident.
Sure, sure.
Most peaceful protest, people marching down the streets, a bunch of people yelling at them with hate, and they ignored that completely and just gathered on the lawn of Village Hall, gave some talks, completely peaceful, very inspiring. And but in response to that, basically, war has been declared. I'll read what it says here. Basically, assuming that in response to a single Black Lives Matter march in Port Jefferson back in June, local right-wing group Setauket Patriots has hosted three events since July. One was a sanctioned car parade for 4th of July. Another was an unsanctioned parade for 9/11. Now we have the most recent caravan supporting the re-election of President Donald Trump last Saturday. All these events have contained many examples of people waving flags supporting Trump, but this latest parade finally dropped any pretense. In videos shared online, some Patriot members have displayed animosity to local officials, to neighbors, or effectively anyone who doesn't agree with them. One video highlighted an actor portraying Trump, calling Port Jeff Mayor Margo Garant evil for issuing the group a summons for marching without a permit. In another, a member of the caravan jokes about shooting counter-protesters. If you joke about shooting your political opponents, no matter if they are protesters, officials, or police, you no longer deserve the kind of public platform you currently enjoy. Couldn't agree more. There is a news article covering this in the same paper. For close to an hour, hundreds of President Trump supporters rolled through the North Shore and parts of the Middle Country area during a huge caravan on October 17th. Members of the Trumpalooza event, organized by right-wing online groups Setauket Patriots, leaned on their horns and shouted 4 more years and Trump while people lined up at the corner of East Broadway and Main Street in Port Jefferson, who shouted their support as well. Some cars sported bullhorns that blasted their support into the cool fall air. Many cars and pickup trucks were hung with flags supporting Trump's reelection campaign, as well as many pictures and even some blow-up representations of the president. Some cars used tape to cover up their license plates, which is a violation of New York state law. Many of those gathered to cheer on the caravan were not wearing masks. Yeah. In a previous article, James Rubitsek, the event organizer for the Setauket Patriots, said they did not ask participants to block their license plate numbers, but added people had been doing it to avoid being outed online. Oh, okay, well, just going to break the law because, well, it's convenient for us. We don't want to be, no. That is exactly what every fascist group does, is cover up any kind of identifying marks, whether it's a police officer, a soldier, a vehicle. Cover it up so you cannot be identified if you do something horrendous. You know, why not wear masks then? You know, that would cover your face. We could see that. But no, as with everything in the Trump administration, their followers, law doesn't apply to them. While many supporters saw the event as a success in getting the word out about their support, some felt they were harassed by participants if they shared any dissent. Andrew Rimby, a doctorate student at Stony Brook University and Portchef resident, said he was called a gay slur by a member of the caravan as he walked in the village. Our village. There were those of us who expressed our dissent who said we don't agree. A woman started to call me a gay slur, and I had a lot of time to talk to her. I was like, why are you insulting me like this? She said, you don't support our president. And? It's America. You are allowed to do that. Did you support the last president? Yeah. Rimby sent a letter to Mayor Garant voicing his and 14 other local residents' concerns. It's a lot more than that. Concerns about the caravan that went through the village. The letter complained about the caravan violating noise codes, as well as how people harassed him and anybody else who showed dissent. During the village board meeting 2 days later, October 19th, Garant made a statement about the weekend's events, saying they have received multiple complaints from residents, though none of those issues were addressed specifically. Police were on site as they could issue citations for traffic or moving violations, though she commended both them and code enforcement for keeping things organized in a tense situation. I want to reemphasize the village of Port Jefferson does not condone lawless or disrespectful behavior, regardless of any messaging a person or group is attempting to convey, she said. We're hoping that with each day that ticks off the calendar, that we may return to somewhat of an existence of peaceful and quiet enjoyment of our community. I just wanted to let everybody know it was a tough day for everyone here in the village. The parade traveled a circuit first through Port Jefferson, up into Setauket, down through St. James, going through Center Reach and Selden before eventually coming up Route 112. In Setauket, members of the North Country Peace Group stood in front of the caravan, blocking its path. Some caravan goers got out of their cars to confront the people blocking their path. One woman yelled into a megaphone, "Liberals go home." 3 people were arrested for disorderly conduct. Guess who? Not the Trump people. No, the people protesting, the Trump people. A man in the car, in one of the cars, said the Secret Service is going to take out the machine guns. There was not much in the way of counter-protesters.
I wonder why.
Why? Why wasn't there a crowd of 1,000 people to meet this?
If that's the way it's going to be handled, maybe they know.
Yeah, I don't know. I have mixed feelings about this. In some ways, I'm pleased we were able to be mature and not turn this into, you know, some kind of a riot. But at the same time, it kind of feels like we're invisible.
Yeah.
And again, in a week, I hope that's no longer true. Anyway, not much in the way of counter-protesters. So at one point during the parade, a driver threw up the middle finger to supporters assembled on the side. Well, that's it? That's it? One middle finger, and that makes the newspaper? Wow. One counter-protester stood at the turn into the Port Jeff train station parking lot holding a sign that read Black Lives Matter. He was later seen down at the corner of East Broadway and Main. I mean, literally two people, and this report is tracking both of them. There was also a separate protest held by progressives next to the Port Jefferson Station / Terryville Chamber train car, you know, on the Wisconsin Highway there, about the ongoing controversy over Ruth Bader Ginsburg's Supreme Court replacement. Well, that's over too. So that's what happened. Also in the Port Times, which is a sister paper for the Village Times, or it might be the Record. I can't keep the name straight. There was a letter from Dave Henson talking about the caravans and the decked out pickup, a symbol of Trumpism. I can't help but notice that car caravans, usually SUVs and pickup trucks carrying the American flag on one side and Trump flag on the other, have become symbolic of Trumpism. These caravans are impressively large, but equally terrifying for those of us who truly believe in democracy and who take the ethical message embodied in the Bible seriously. Many of the cars are adorned with pro-President Donald Trump political messages and anti-Joe Biden. Many of these messages are not fit for children. I was on the other side of the protest line this past weekend. I saw the face of evil and racism consistently. When the Trump vehicles were stopped at a red light, the participants seized the opportunity to roll down their windows, scream and curse at us, give us the middle finger. Very popular if a car had the misfortune of not being stopped by a red light. These are the protesters, not the counter-protesters. Also popular was the unfounded suggestion that Biden and all the Democrats are pedophiles. Apparently, this is a malignant conspiracy rumor being propagated by QAnon, an online group that erroneously believes Democrats and other celebrities are involved in a worldwide pedophile ring. Facts, evidence, and common sense be damned. But, and this is the part I really want people to listen to, what disturbed me the most was not this. I have a friend, a fellow Democrat, who happens to own a pickup truck. Yes, some Democrats do own pickup trucks. She had the audacity to put an American flag on her car, but also Biden paraphernalia. Imagine that. Sure enough, in a manner that would make any dictator proud, she was stopped and verbally assaulted by Trumpsters. Hey, you can't do that, you filthy bitch. This is our flag, our emblem. She was outnumbered and legitimately concerned for her safety. In the interest of self-preservation and to live to see another day, she took down the flag and Biden paraphernalia. Yeah. This is our flag. She retreated emotionally, shook up, but alive. Sadly, President Trump would have been proud of his supporters. He has encouraged such behavior, has done nothing to squelch it. Consider, for example, his response to the foiled kidnapping attempt of Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer. My question to other Americans, is this your idea of a great America? For those of you who are appalled by such behavior, I have one suggestion, vote. And thank you, Dave Henson, for writing that letter that appeared in our local newspaper. There are so many good people out there who are intimidated, feeling like they're in danger. And they're not wrong. This is ugliness. What I see out there in the street on a daily basis, it is really, really disturbing. And I hope it's a phase that we get out of. Because if it continues going in this direction, like I said, it will be so much worse. To actually force somebody to not wave the flag of their own country because they support a different political candidate. That is disgusting. That is absolutely repulsive.
It's like blind rage, too. They're not even thinking. They don't even see their own stupidity, their own irony.
Well,
you know, it's not a very considered reaction or response. It's not a careful examination.
I don't think they care. I don't think they care if it's rational or not. And I don't know if it's blind. I think maybe with some it is, but I think many people know exactly what they're doing. This is part of our DNA. This is the ugly side of what humans are capable of. And I always had a problem with people who said, oh, it could never happen here, you know, referring back to fascist states. Of course it can happen here. It can happen anywhere. It can even happen in New Zealand. Yeah, I said it. Anywhere there are humans, this ugliness can manifest itself. We're not immune. And if anything, these last 4 years have proven that. So I just hope that we all take this seriously. Every time I look at the TV, I see lines of people. You know, it's annoying to me that people have to wait so long online. That points to a systemic failure. But I am so proud of them for doing it. And once this is all over, we have to look at why that was necessary. Voting should not take an entire day. But think about what it means if people are willing to stand outside for an entire day to cast their one vote. That matters. That means something. And that's what's going to get us through this. I'm confident of that. You have anything else to add to this delightful story?
Not in particular. No, not really.
I got to say, you know, these police rallies, they scare the crap out of me. I mean, I'm no enemy of the cops. Cops are fine as long as they do their job like everybody else. You know, what happened in Philadelphia yesterday was another disgrace, which just shows that so many are not trained. So many do their job badly. And why anybody would support that, if you don't know, somebody else was killed by the cops. And if you look at, this is the real ugliness. If you look at message boards, which you should never do, but if you do, you'll see all the people saying, well, the guy had a knife. He did not obey commands. He was lunging towards them. If you look at the video, he wasn't exactly on top of them. The guy was obviously mentally distraught. We've seen this so many times. These things are going to happen. This is normal. This is normal in society. People get distraught. People do irrational things. And this guy was obviously upset at something. But he didn't need to be shot over 10 times. That's not the way to handle it. You were not about to be stabbed. You could have easily stepped back. All the reports say he continued moving towards them. Well, how fast? How fast was he actually moving? How far away was he? Were you actually in imminent danger of being killed, of being hurt? I don't think so. And I think in most of these cases, that's not the case. But technically, just like Republicans constantly were able to pull off, technically, yeah, you can get away with it. You can say, he was moving in my direction, had a knife, didn't stop when I told him to stop, had to kill him. I was in fear for my life. There are people in fear for their lives every moment of the day. Doesn't excuse this kind of behavior. Anyway, to get back to my original point, no problem with cops if they do a good job, if they're supportive of the community. They are necessary. I don't think the majority of people believe cops should not exist, but this kind of policing needs to stop. It needs to be redefined, needs to be rebuilt. And all these rallies supporting blindly every cop as heroes, that to me is scary. That really is something frightening because, you know, these are people that are very well equipped to take care of themselves. And here you have these throngs of people desecrate the flag. How do they get away with that, by the way? All these blue flags that are distortions of the American flag. If Black Lives Matter did that, if they made a flag, and if anybody should have a flag, it's them, except I don't believe more flags are the answer. But imagine if they did something like that, how they would be criticized. But yeah, the Trump people, they can desecrate the flag and it's okay. Again, you know, just set the rules for yourself, nobody else. But just to have rallies to support people who don't need support, they need training. The support is there.
They need oversight.
Oversight, yeah. Obviously, these are people who come from our own community. They're not blue. They're human. Blue is not a color. Blue is not a race. Blue is not a religion, although with some people I have to wonder. Being black is very different. That is a real thing. And something so many of these people don't seem to understand, and they're just proving it every single day. So yeah, those rallies, they scare me. They really scare me. Because if you look at that in the context of, say, another country, throngs of people supporting the people with guns, what would you call that? you call that some kind of fascist rally, where the people who were defenseless would have to be very intimidated. It's not healthy. It is not a healthy thing. All right, and with that, we are going to completely change the tone and go to our sustaining feature, Films of the Year That Was, because we fell behind and we finally are starting to catch up, and we have a lot to go over in relatively a quick period of time. 1982. We are up to 1982 in our long series of Academy Award-winning films. We're going to see every single one of them.
And 1982's film?
Well, two films, a foreign film and domestic film. Which do you want to do first?
I don't know. Which would the audience like to do first?
Well, we can't even see the audience.
Well, then maybe we're not even
not even in a studio. You know, we're in a dark room. All right, let's do the domestic. But it's not really domestic, okay, so because it's not in America.
The film from the year that was 1982 was Gandhi, the best picture.
Yes.
Released and let's see, November 30th, 1982, directed by Richard Attenborough, starring Sir Benjamin Kingsley.
I got to say, of all the films we have seen so far, this is one of the best. This is one. I'd seen it before.
Me too.
Many years ago.
I had to see it through.
You saw it in school.
Yep.
That must have been fun. But what a saga of his early days in South Africa, and then...
I didn't remember that part as well.
Yeah.
It was good to see that and like get reinforced with how his practice emerged in another continent.
Uh-huh. The story was just told so majestically, and with such attention to detail, as far as just the many different struggles and ways of dealing with them, with such dignity, confidence. It was inspirational.
Think about it. They show a society that has a multi-layered caste system, and then throw colonialism on top of that,
mm-hmm.
and in a country that has an incredibly vibrant population. I think you told me there was something on the order of, what was it, 100,000? The extras alone?
Oh, 300,000 extras.
300,000.
Yeah, in the film, 300,000 extras.
Can you believe that?
What they did was they had a Gandhi a Remembrance Day. I think it was on January 31st, which is the day that he died. And they just had all these people gather, and they reenacted his funeral. I don't think that number will ever be matched, 300,000 extras, because, these days you do CGI, so you would never have to do that.
So that storytelling really was an adept visualization, mm-hmm. through the use of Hollywood stylizing and the storytelling we're used to in the cinematic form, but giving you kind of a geographical and anthropological lesson as well.
There's so much in that film that, like many films that we see, that applies to today. But I want to play a bit, actually, from the film.
Many stories that are age old.
Yeah, this is something that Gandhi is saying as he's on one of his fasts, and so he sounds a little weak. But what he says, the words he says, are incredibly strong. Take a listen.
When I despair, I remember that all through history, the way of truth and love has always won. There have been tyrants and murderers, and for a time they can seem invincible, but in the end they always fall. Think of it. Always. Whenever you are in doubt that that is God's way the world is meant to be, think of that.
They always fall, you know. I needed to hear that. I needed to hear someone say, tyrants, dictators, they will always fall. It's God's way. Think of that when you think they're invincible. They always fall. And he's right. He was right.
Yeah, there's this sort of sureness to it that is a true understanding of the the lived life. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm using sort of philosophical catchphrase, but it really blends well with and is parallel to a lot of themes we've been pulling out of the ether over the last four and maybe longer, things repeating cycles, and that wisdom is something that was a part of Gandhi's teaching, and that challenging and critical thinking of the situation and the sort of multidimensional means to an end, and how you come to it philosophically is not trivial. Like, it's worth a lot of insight and as we saw, meditation and coming to what is the right way to when you're standing for something in these kinds of struggles.
So Gandhi, 1982. We saw the international film as well. Okay. Unfortunately, I don't think that was quite as good. I don't remember the name.
Sure. Yeah. This one's Volver a Empezar.
Well, in English.
Begin the Beguin.
Yeah. Okay. It's a Spanish film. And what was...
directed by Jose Luis Garci, starring Antonio Ferrandis.
It started with, believe it or not, the playing of Pachelbel's Canon, just like in Ordinary People. And I really, really liked the beginning because it's this guy getting off a train and going to a small city in Spain that's on the waterfront. It turns out to be the north of Spain. And just kind of going from place to place, looking reflectively at everything from the soccer stadium to a theater, to just the streets, to the people.
There were some really beautiful shots of like this emptiness and this bigness and being surrounded by a void of time, and him coming back to try to fill it with memories and things he can bring.
And we had to do a lot of work to get this film. We had to call on some shady contacts to get a copy because it's not available anywhere. And we finally were able to get a copy, and wouldn't you know it, there was this long intro, which I liked a lot, with the music walking through town, and then the film actually begins and I start speaking, and guess there's no captioning. He's speaking Spanish and there's no caption. I finally found the caption trap, but it was Portuguese. That didn't help us. Turns out that the program we were using only is able to handle one captioning track. There was a second one with English, so we had to find a new program and hook up some new hardware and play the whole thing again because, you know, I'd like to be able to see it the way it was intended. And then it got disabled, and we had to do it a third time, and then by that time we were in a bad mood. But it didn't matter because I think the film kind of went downhill from there. I know you certainly thought it did.
Yeah, I couldn't take it. It was just all of this quiet, two shots of people talking.
A lot of talking.
Very quietly, mm-hmm. whispering, and as wistful as that introduction. But it doesn't really take off. It doesn't take you anywhere. There's no flashing back. There's no no sense of dynamics to it. The pace doesn't change. The storytelling isn't dynamic.
Well,
it's
okay.
Just this conversation.
Yeah, it's a meaningful film, and I'm going to ruin it. It doesn't matter because you'll never be able to find it anyway. But this guy is coming back to this small city. I believe he's just gotten a Nobel Peace Prize in Stockholm because he
for literature.
Yeah, for literature. The reason I say he must have just gotten it because it wasn't clear whether he was on his way to get it or whether he was coming back from getting it. But since he wound up flying back to San Francisco, which is where he lived afterwards, obviously he must already have had it. Anyway, the point is he went back to see all these people he hadn't seen in decades. And what might not be obvious to us as Americans is that the reason he wasn't there was because of the Franco regime in Spain. He was basically exiled during that fascist period, which had ended. 1981 was, I think, when it was supposed to be taking place. Franco had died fairly recently, and he was going back to see all this, but he was also dying. Yeah, he had something like 6 months to live. He was kind of keeping that secret except for one friend of his who he shared that information. and a lot of, you know, it was very sentimental. You know, we were saying, okay, he's seeing this for the last time. This person doesn't know. He's revisiting the love of his life, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, we get it already. And the other thing was that they kept playing the damn Pachelbel's Canon over and over again. It's like they only had the rights to that music. So if you like that particular piece, I don't recommend seeing this film because you won't like the piece after you've heard it six times.
What if it puts you to sleep every time you hear the beginning? It just, the mere hint of it makes you start to drift off.
I'm open to different types of filmmaking, to all different cultures and things like that. I did enjoy the way things were shot, but I do like for things to kind of move along a little bit. I get it. I feel like I was in his shoes. And maybe in that way it was a success, but I didn't want to feel that way. I didn't want to feel like some guy going back to a small city in northern Spain to tell or to see people for the last time in his life. But it was good in some ways, but an ordeal in other ways.
Must have been slim pickings that year because it was an ordeal.
Yeah. Well, that's 1982. And I don't know if we probably won't have 1983 next week because election day and all that.
That's okay.
Yeah, you're talking through a paper now.
That's films from the year that was.
That's right. All right, so again, we can't emphasize enough the importance of voting, getting out there. Go to vote.org. That is a great website. You can enter your name and birth date and something else, address, I guess, to verify that you're registered and see where you're supposed to vote, all that, and all kinds of other things. Find out where you can vote early anywhere in the country and how you can vote absentee. The important thing is that you do it. Don't be dissuaded by long lines, by seeing long lines. You still have time to mail your ballot in if you do it now. And pretty much be guaranteed that it'll arrive in time. Again, also COVID-19. We are facing some very dark days ahead because people in charge are idiots. I'm sorry to say.
The future is in your hands.
Yeah, quite literally.
Every step, every cleaning, sanitizing, all of that effort needs to be redoubled in the next few weeks.
Get this, State University of New York students, like the ones here at Stony Brook, who use on-campus facilities will be required to test negative for COVID-19 within 10 days before they leave campus to head back home for Thanksgiving break. By requiring all students to test negative before leaving, we are implementing a smart, sensible policy that protects students' families and hometown communities and drastically reduces the chances of COVID-19 community spread. That's according to SUNY Chancellor Jim Mallatris. I wish the country was run as well as SUNY. I have to say, I'm very proud of New York, the way we have done the best we can, and despite a lot of idiocy out there, hopefully the idiocy is dying out. That's going to do it for us tonight. Write to us, otw@2600.com. And we will be back next week on Election Day. Stay tuned for Finn. Coming up. Doesn't that sound like Pachelbel's Canon? I'm sorry. This might be in my head. We'll see you next week. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Listen, children, to a story that was written long ago about a kingdom on a mountain and the valley folk below. On the mountain was a treasure buried deep beneath a stone, and the valley people swore they'd have it for their very own. Go and hit your neighbor, go ahead and cheer your friend. Soldier rides away. So the people of the land. message up the hill, asking for the buried treasure, tons of gold for which they kill. Came an answer from the kingdom, with our brothers we will share all the secrets of our mountain, all the riches buried there. So they won their just reward. Now they stood beside the treasure on the mountain, dark and red. Turned the stone and looked beneath it. Peace on earth was all it said. Go ahead and hate your neighbor. Go ahead and cheat a friend. Do it in the name of heaven. You can justify it in the end. Judgment Day on the bloody morning after. One tin soldier rides away.
The original cast right here on WUSB Stony Brook.